sermon this morning is sharing. Sharing, it pays. We're not going there yet, but it's coming from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Sharing, it pays. Now, can I be Captain Obvious here for just a minute this morning? Much of what God asks us to do goes against our nature. Goes against what we naturally want to do, what we naturally feel like we ought to do. It goes against what many people would call common sense, right? The Bible says that money is a root of evil, and yet we often find ourselves, by our actions, thinking that money is the answer to everything. At least the way we act that way at times. The Bible teaches that money often creates problems. Again, if it's not kept in its proper perspective. Seek to live at peace with everyone. Love your enemy. Forgive those who would harm you. This is what the Bible teaches we should do. Help strangers. The meek shall inherit the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This goes against the common activities that not only come from us who call ourselves Christians, but also obviously those out in the world who have no interest or desire to honor God. But if we're honest with ourselves, even those of us who proclaim faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a part of us who wrestle with these ideas that God's Word puts out. This morning, I want to focus on something that I think fits in all those categories that I mentioned, that we need to take into consideration with each of those categories, this idea of sharing. The Bible teaches clearly that sharing enriches the one who is doing the giving as well as the one who is doing the receiving. In Acts 20, verse 35, we read Paul saying, the Apostle Paul, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Jesus here is telling us, in this quote that Paul gives, that the blessing actually is more on the one who is giving out rather than one who is receiving. Paul even says elsewhere, in one of his letters, he speaks about work, and one of the things he says about our work, why we work, why we should work, is so that we can benefit others. Again, doesn't that go against our natural inclination that we want to provide for ourselves, we want to provide for those who care about us and those who we love? And listen, that's true as well. We're not saying that we shouldn't do that. Jesus tells us that we need to have a different attitude. I want to say this morning, and I think I can say this confidently, sharing is either taught or forced. Those who choose to share, they've caught it by observing others. In other words, if you're in a community where within that community other people naturally share, you find yourself sharing. You almost feel compelled that you've got to because that's what others are doing. Matter of fact, just last week, someone bought my lunch at work, and he even acknowledged when he bought my lunch, he says, "Well, you bought lunch for me previously." There's this sense that as we're seeing it being regularly practiced, that there's this almost this peer pressure, right? That you sense, well, this is what everyone's doing, so I should do it. Also, it's taught. I don't know about you, those of you who have been children yourselves or raised children, do you notice that sharing is something that has to be taught? It is one of the most natural things for a child to say, what? Four-letter word, mine, mine, mine. Now, I know some children are that's a lesson that's harder than others, but it is not a natural response as you're growing up to think, what I have, I want you to have. So we need to be teaching that. Those who are guardians of young people, we need to be teaching them so that they share. That's how it comes about. And lastly, is forced. Right, our government can force us through taxes. Or a parent or an authority in the home might say, no, you're sharing that with your sister. You're sharing that with your brother. Sharing does not come natural. So we have these three pathways that I think, for the most part, it comes about. If people are sharing, it's because they caught it from somebody else, they were taught it, or they were being forced. Sharing does not come natural at birth. It is not found natural in a capitalistic and an individualistic society. If you're seeking to win, either personally or in business, sharing is not held up as the ideal. It's either take from others or be taken by others. Imagine for a moment. Now, let me create something that I know is not true. But just imagine for a moment that McDonald's is sitting on one side of the street and Burger King is on the other side. And McDonald's, the manager of McDonald's, find out that Burger King is running out of meat. Maybe because of what's going on. I know, imagine some of you, we had trouble trying to get a refrigerator. There's things that you're trying to buy and the shelves are empty. So maybe Burger King has found out that you can't get their meat. They've run out of meat. They can't provide the hamburgers. Now, I know McDonald's and Burger King are different. But just imagine for a moment. I'm creating a world where they're using the same thing. I'm not sure where some of them get their meat. But let's just imagine they are. And McDonald's managers hear that from Burger King. And they think, you know what? We've got extra. Our inventory right now is over. Let's give them a call. Let's just offer. Here, you can have some of our extra inventory. We don't need it. We're not going to need it. Matter of fact, we got another truck coming next week. Here. Could you imagine? Isn't that so far-fetched to think that Burger King and McDonald's, and I'm not picking on those restaurants in particular, you could put in the title of any other restaurant to choose to say, I want to help that other restaurant. It so goes against our society, but that is what Jesus is teaching us, to have that kind of mindset. Imagine maybe for a moment in a sports event, say a college football team, and the college team shows up and they realize the opposing team, one of their major players, is not going to be able to make it. Say it's a linebacker, a quarterback, whatever, a very special player is not going to be there, and they know it, and they don't have any backups. And so the other team says, you know what, we have an extra. We're overflowing with good players. I want, you just borrow it, you use him for that. That's ridiculous, isn't it? It is absolutely ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you, that's the mindset that Jesus is telling us that we should have towards others. Much of the society that we live in observes a view of zero-sum game. Zero-sum game. In other words, the idea simply is, I only win. There's only one way for me to win, and that is for you to lose. Zero-sum game. The idea has come from a mathematical formula. But I want to tell you, the easiest way for me to understand it and think about it and explain it is by looking at this slice of cake. Zero-sum game, again, it simply means that the only way for I can win is for you to lose. So just imagine for a moment, your mother or your grandmother puts down a piece of cake and puts it on the table, and you and your sibling or someone, your friend, is next to you, and you're looking at that, and you're both wanting that. You both have a full glass of cold milk sitting right next to it, or maybe a cup of coffee if you don't like milk. And you're both looking at that, and she's got a knife in her hand. What are you thinking? What's in your mind? How much am I going to get? Because you realize there's only one way for you to get more, and that is for the slice to be a little bit on the other direction rather than towards you. And I want to tell you, it's natural for all of us. Whether you want to say it, it's natural for all of us. We're sitting there thinking to some extent, if we like cake, again, I'm making an assumption here, if you like cake, milk, coffee, you're going to want the larger slice. There's a part of you. But Jesus is saying, take less. But listen, in society, zero-sum game, this idea is every time I get more means you get less. That's how it works. That's generally how the world system works. Jesus is telling us that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. That's not the attitude we have. Now listen to Jesus as he speaks about sharing. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Lord, be with us this morning. Help us as we look into this, your blessed holy word. I ask you to help each of us, those who are here as well as those who are listening to my words. Help us to set aside all the stuff that's going into our world, all the arguments that we may have against us, and simply listen and attempt to put into practice what it is you're calling us to do, Lord. I recognize and know that we're all in different places. We all have different financial levels. We all have different amounts of blessings if we are comparing ourselves with others, Lord. Help us to set that aside and simply say, this is what I have, and help us to have a desire to respond in a way that's sharing, caring, and compassionate towards others. In Jesus' name we pray. Judge not, and you won't be judged. Don't be condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. You see, Jesus here is saying, let go of many of these things that you feel like you need to control, that you need to grab a hold of. Like everything in life is this idea of a zero-sum game. I'm winning or you're winning. We can't win together. Jesus is actually suggesting the opposite is true. That by you choosing to voluntarily help others to win, you win. That you're actually receiving the higher blessing in this world as well as in the world to come. Jesus is giving us a peek into the kingdom that he is building and what it should look like, not only in our actions today, but also into eternity. So he's telling us, give of yourself. Give of yourself. That is, have an attitude of caring and compassion towards others. And he's also saying, give of your material goods. In other words, share. Be sharing. The economics of God's kingdom is starkly different than what the world teaches. And what we are naturally inclined to do, Jesus tells us to share of our lives and share of our worldly goods and find blessings. So give of yourself. Be gracious and merciful. I know each of us here want that to come to us. We want people to be gracious. We want people to be merciful. We don't want to be judged harshly by what we do or what we have done or who we are or where we come from or how we speak. We don't want to be judged harshly. We want to be judged with compassion. Now listen, I want to tell you, Jesus here is not telling us that we should not have authorities that cause people to have consequences for when they do bad things. When somebody breaks the law, then there is nothing wrong with. Jesus is not preaching or teaching against authorities in the world. As a matter of fact, in Romans 13, Paul makes it clear that there is an expectation. There are authorities in this world, and those authorities are to enforce breaking the laws. So we're not suggesting that Jesus is saying that there never should be any laws and no one should ever enforce those laws. Understand, he's talking about our response from the heart. So in other words, somebody could crash my car on the way home from church today, be absolutely their fault, and I could stand up and witness or testify to the fact that they did that. And I'm not dishonoring God in doing that. And seeing that this person has to pay the consequences for what they did, Jesus is talking about how we respond from the heart concerning judging and condemning. Listen, I can still care about that person and still expect to see them, under the authority of the law, to see that they need to deal with the consequences. It's how we respond in our heart when others hurt and harm us. And we shouldn't go about attempting to try to fix it ourselves. How much, I want you to think about this for a moment. How much of your life has been wasted on holding a grudge or attempting to get back at somebody because of what they have done to you? God has forgiven you, so go and forgive others. We hear this in the prayer Jesus taught the disciples. We were recently talking about this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in our Wednesday night Bible study. I think I maybe spoke about it recently in a sermon as well. But he says in that prayer, forgive us, God, as we forgive others who have forgiven us. Now, we latch on to that first part, right? How often in our prayers are we saying, God, forgive me? How often do we have that mindset that I want that forgiveness from God? And yet, along with that prayer, we're told that we should be going about forgiving others as well. This is not easy. God is not calling us to do something that is easy. He's calling us to do something that's hard. Calling us to do something that honors God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who has offered His forgiveness of our sins. And how many sins did He forgive us for? All of our sins. Not just one, but all. Go and do as God has done to you. And in so doing, you are being like your Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. I don't have these on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44. I know I've said this many times before, but I think we are the most like God when we find ourselves having this forgiving attitude towards others that absolutely do not deserve it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Just imagine if God chose to only give to those who He might deem as being worthy. God is giving to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. God, Jesus here is telling us to have the attitude of being caring, loving, compassionate, even to those who we would say have no desire, will never return that compassion and care towards us. Of course, the hope is that it might draw them unto God. When we act like God, when we are loving, caring, compassionate towards others like God is, it's an opportunity for us. I want to tell you, you represent God when you act in that way when somebody has harmed you. Let me ask you, is it asking too much of us to have that attitude towards others when God has done that for us? And secondly, concerning our material goods, the Bible teaches us, the Bible says, I like the way James puts it, in a sense, everything that we get from God, everything that we have in this world has come from God. And again, you say, well, if that is true, then how much more should we have the attitude, if we sense in our life that it's the right thing to do, that we should be willing to share of our material goods? Give of your material goods to share. At one point in the Gospels, Jesus tells a man to go and sell all that he had and give to the poor and follow him. To give all that he had. And the Bible tells us he was a rich man. He had many goods, and he walked away with his head down and chose to use the good. Listen, the Bible is not teaching, Jesus is not suggesting that absolutely everybody is called to do that, though you might be. That's between you and God. But the vast majority of us, when it comes to sharing, I want to say God is not pressing upon our hearts to give away everything. He's just telling us to have that attitude. He's not even suggesting that we should get stressed or worried about it and rush around and think, how should I give? What should I give? Simply be prepared. Have that heart. Have that attitude that when you sense somebody is in need and you are capable of fulfilling that need, then to be willing to do that. Have a sharing heart. Have a compassion to others. However, we do have examples in the Bible that go above and beyond, like the lady who gave all she had at the temple. You may remember, as she put it into the temple box, Jesus talks about her, and it's quite often called the widow's mite, the illustration in the Bible, the widow's mite, where she gave such a little amount, and yet Jesus says she gave more than many others. Why? Because she gave from the heart. And she gave, at that moment, she gave all that she had. And this illustration reminded that God is not impressed by the size of your gift. If you're trying to impress God, it's not the amount that you give, it's the heart behind what you've given. I ask you this morning, how big is your heart? I would imagine that many of the gifts that are most noticeable to the receiver, many of the gifts that you give that are most noticeable to the receiver are small things, surprising things. I'm going to tell you, in my life, what I find blessed so much about people who give them to me is simply giving the time to listen to them. I have people in my life, praise God, it's a small group, but if I have a concern or if I have something that I want to talk about, they're willing to listen. They have an interest in what I have to say. To me, that is a huge gift when someone is sitting listening. I remember my grandmother on my father's side. What a blessing that sitting down and talking with her. And I felt as though as I was having this conversation with her that everything I said was the most important thing she had heard for her whole day. That was the attitude that she had for me. It's because she cared about me and I knew it. I think it's one of the greatest ways that we give of ourselves, that we intentionally choose to care about others. It takes effort. We have to be thinking about that. We have to think, how can I care for this person? What can I do? I try to do that sometimes in the midst of a conversation with somebody. I'm praying to the Lord. Lord, what is it? How can I help this person? In what way? How can I respond in such a way that gets them to understand that I do care about them? Sharing is a calling upon God's people. Sharing of ourselves. Sharing of our material goods. I imagine many of you took part in show and tell in school. Anybody do that? I assume they still do that in school. I don't know. Show and tell. I remember one of my favorite times that really sticks out in my mind. I was in second grade. Pettyville Elementary. School's gone now. They tore it down. Pettyville's totally changing, of course. But the school's gone. But when I was there in the second grade, I remember we had a show and tell. And just recently, I had caught a little bunny, a bunny that was out in the wild. We lived kind of in a out-of-the-way place there, a little farm my uncle owned. And I caught this bunny. And I let it go later on. We just had it for a few days while ago. But during show and tell, I brought in my bunny. I brought in a little bird cage. And I was proud of that bunny. I wanted to tell people about my bunny, show them my bunny. I felt good. This is a possession that I had that I think is important. It's valued to me at this time. I wanted others to see it. I think in God's show and tell, if He was going to call us to have something similar, what He wants us to bring is, what did you give away? Not what did you possess. What do you possess in this world? Do you think it's so prized? He's going to ask us, what did you give away? That's what's going to be prized. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Many of those things that we try to grab a hold of and hold on to eventually is going to end up out in the dump. I think about that quite often when I go to the dump. How many things that we strive and fought for and built and bought, and eventually someone's got to take it to the dump. It's piled over, it stinks. And so many of those things that we chase after, Jesus is saying, it's going to go to ruination. And especially, definitely when you die, you're not taking any of it with you. Listen, the treasures that are valuable, that you can carry with you, is how you choose. As we choose to be a giving, sharing, compassionate person, we are laying up treasures in heaven. We will find that in time. God, listen, I want to tell you this, though. God blesses us in the here and the now. But He has also promised us that we will be blessed in the eternity by the way we choose to live our life. I want to close reading to you, and again, this is not on the screen either. chapter, I just want you to listen as I read to you an incident in the life of the prophet Elijah. This comes, if you have your Bible, if you want to turn, it's 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 8. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, came to Elijah. Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. What was happening was the kingdom of Israel at that time was having a major drought. Hadn't been raining. I think it was something like 3 years that it hadn't been raining. And obviously what comes with that is a famine. So Elijah is told to go to Sidon and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow there to feed you. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. She felt as though this was her last meal. The cupboard were bare. There was nothing else in the field. She had no ability to go out and receive or gain anything else. So she was about to eat her last meal. And Elijah the prophet, he says to her, do not fear. Go and do you as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. God. And as people observe calling upon us to be a loving, caring, compassionate, sharing people, zero-sum game is not the calculation that we should be concerned about. We should be concerned about the blessings that come from God that have nothing to do with what we own or what we take from somebody else. Jesus actually teaches that it is the opposite. What we have and how we in turn share that. This morning, if you were going to take a moment, take an inventory. Which of your accounts are higher? The accounts from the world's perspective, those things that you've gathered and grasped and held on to. Listen, I understand that's important. We've got to take care of ourselves. We got to put a roof over our head. We got to be concerned about retirement. There are things we need to set aside money for. I'm not here condemning you. I don't believe God condemns us for making preparations for the future. But I just want you to ask, overall, as you look at your family, would you say you've spent more time and focused so much more from your heart in preparing for your account here on earth? Or have you spent more time in preparing your account? Yes, which do you think? If you believe, as I do, that we will live in an eternity, God who loves us, which do you think is the most important that we should be focusing on? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for the sharing that you have given to us in so many ways. We thank you for helping us through your Son, Jesus Christ, seeing clear acts of love and compassion towards others, up to and including the sharing of his life as he gave it upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, I ask you to help us to have a desire that we may want to be a sharing and a compassionate people. That we may be reminded of the value of that, that the benefits of that. And Lord, we hope and pray that the community here would recognize the people of Vanderhoof Baptist Church as caring, loving, passionate, sharing people as you call us to be. We thank you for praise in Jesus' name. The Lord's speaking to your heart in any way. If you'd like to pray, if you would, whether it's in your seats or up front, the altar is open. This is an opportunity for you just to pause again. And you don't have to be praying about, oh, Lord, I've not done things right and I need to change. You can be simply be praying about the concerns for other people, concerns for our community, concerns for individuals who are hurting.
Pray. know, dear Lord, that we should serve you in many ways. Please help us, dear Lord, as we leave this place today to look for ways to serve you, ways to give, ways to help in someone's life, dear Lord. For it's through that service that we show your love to those around us. And in the ways that you want us to, dear Lord, just strengthen us, guide us, direct our paths, and just give you all the praise.